radio lady.
Blog Talk Radio.
Somewhere here, I have a screen. And there you are. Good morning. It's good to have you with us today.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Happy Sunday. First, we have a pretty foggy.
We are not going to have
morning here.
Foggy, freezy, icy anymore in North Dakota.
Yeah, and it has been all night. That's exactly it. Foggy, freezy, icy. But the sun will come out and it'll be beautiful.
Who sang that song? Somebody sang that song. The sun will come out this
tomorrow.
Afternoon. No,
little
not tomorrow.
Annie.
This afternoon.
Annie.
Bet your bottom dollar that today, where the skies are not cloudy all day. That's us, Home on the Range. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you were not able to be a part of the our program last night, where we had somewhat of the movie, something. It wasn't like her whole life of Corrie Ten Boom. It was just until they got free, or did they even get free?
Her sister passed away there, and her dad, and she got free.
That's how much I couldn't see because I couldn't tell.
They finally let her go, but her sister had passed away.
Yep. And here's the thing that we know: a mighty woman of faith.
Oh my.
Now, I don't know if Brother Dan remembers or not, but you probably weren't there yet because it was when I was in high school at Mount Carmel. She came to speak to our high school. And never had I, well, only one other time in my life had I ever experienced anyone of that magnitude of power in the realm of the Spirit. When she walked in the room, there was a commanding presence in and with this lady. And about 20 minutes into her message, whatever you called what she did, I don't know that she could call it a message, her time of ministry, one of the loudest thunderstorms I ever heard. I get what I'm saying. One of the loudest thunderstorms I ever heard rolled through.
Really?
Now, what's up with that? There's nothing else our enemy can do. That already defeated enemy can do, except make a loud storm. Mm-hmm. Our leadership had already invited her to speak. So she was there. The enemy had never been able, the already defeated enemy had never been able to do anything with her. He couldn't, he never stopped her whole life. Because she won that battle
of love.
But the room was so charged with faith and power that everybody in there was receiving from the faith. Well, what's the Bible say? The thief comes when? Immediately. And what's he come for? To steal the word. This storm was so loud you couldn't hear what she was saying. And then the power went out, which stopped the PA system.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And she said, this is just what happens. Everything paused. In the name of Jesus, she spoke to it. Lights came back up. PA worked. Everybody in the building is like, oh my goodness. This building, our chapel for the high school, was packed. Right? Now, when it's just the students, we would fill up the front section a little bit, but there was like 500 people in there from all those surrounding communities of the school because they heard she was coming. And of course, Corrie Ten Boom had quite an impact on the world. When you look at this, you realize there, the presence of faith, had Jesus been there, he would have said of Corrie Ten Boom, I've not seen faith like this.
Yeah.
Well,
all of Israel.
However, yeah. However, he would say it because it was there. And we got down to the end of her message. Well, this is interesting. And I can tell I'm already going. And I just wanted to talk about last night a little bit, but might as well just go.
All right.
Welcome to our program this morning. It's called Of Whom the World Is Not Worthy. This program is called 1 Hour of Faith, where we talk about the faith principles of Almighty God that we find in His Word. And
good morning, Roger, and good morning, Wayner, on YouTube.
Good morning, Brother Roger and Brother Wayner.
Good to have you with us
today and every day. It's always good to have you guys with us. Guys do a good job of holding this fort down over there. And so why are you saying all this? Because a lot of times people have never met anyone who has this level of faith, like what we saw revealed last night. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I didn't get to see it. Well, just remember this. I rented that movie from Amazon, which is really scary. It was the only place I could find to rent it. You might find one from a Christian somewhere. If you do, please rent from them instead of Amazon, okay? Let's keep the money in the kingdom. But it only cost $2 to rent that movie. And I would encourage each one of you to rent the movie on your own, in your own house, in your own life. Share it with some friends because that's what the kingdom of God truly is. That is what we do. We find the field, the pearl of great price. We go and buy it. And once we get it bought and captured and brought to our lives, then we begin to share it with everyone around us. Look at this pearl of great price that I have found. And people will be like, wow. Well, that's literally what this is. And, you know, this is another one of those videos, and I know we've said this often, that just needs to be something you continually watch. Excuse my word, watch, because it doesn't mean to watch. God's not a God who wants you to watch nothing. God wants every one of us involved.
Amen.
He wants you to be engaged. He doesn't want you just watching. But the process of engagement is to watch and to study the lives of these great people. And I've had this thought before, and I'm going to just carry it through. And that is to find these brave men and women who really were just common people. And as they continually lived out their common life of faith, God caused their common life of faith to become mountain-moving faith. I mean, It's a very interesting process, mm-hmm. which is what we're here. It's what we're here. It's what we do here in the community of faith is just keep pulling the faith message out and saying, this is who you are. 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 And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is no force on this earth that can stop faith. There is no force on this earth that can stop faith.
Amen.
Zero.
Amen.
Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Nothing can stop faith when you're truly going after it. Now, if you're not going after it and you're just being religious, religion, which is your choice to be religious, will stop faith from going in your heart. Let's take a look at that this morning. And for those of you that might be joining in with us on YouTube or Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, you might say, what was it, Pastor? It's the movie called The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place. It's the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her family from the Netherlands during World War II occupation. And you can rent it. I found it on Amazon. I tried to find it from GodTube and some of them, but I couldn't seem to find it, which would lead me to believe that somehow Amazon got the rights to that movie. And I bind that in the mighty name of Jesus. And may you and I get it, download it, put it in our own, you can buy the DVD of it, put it in our own library. So no matter what, we have this story to tell because it's a powerful story. So here we go. Let's open up the Word of God today. And let's build our faith. Let's build our faith. It doesn't matter what you are facing today. It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter. God has an answer in it. And that answer is faith. Faith, speaking to the mountain, is the answer every day, all day long, no matter what. It's the answer for your marriage. It's the answer for your ministry. It's the answer for your children. It's the answer for your business. Faith is the answer no matter what. And so let's read this. Let's read. Brother Dan, could you find that reference of the Syrophoenician woman where Jesus called the lady the dog and then said, I have not seen such great faith. You find that reference for me, brother. I'm going to start while he's doing that. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to go to verse 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And the name of the movie is The Hiding Place. And we rented it for $2. $2. Rented it from Amazon. And here we go. Romans chapter 1. Ready? Let's hold our Bible up. We'll make our confession today. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am. I go do what he tells me to do. Today, I will be taught the word of God. And his word is changing my life, because that's what Jesus said it would do. I receive this word planted as a seed in the good soil of my life, producing a hundredfold return and more. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, say it with me, the righteousness of faith. No, that's the next verse. The gospel of Christ. For in it, the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, all of a sudden, we see God, and he's doing a big thing here, and he said, the gospel of Christ reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Many people have never heard the message that the very foundation factor of your life is that you received by faith what Jesus did for you. You received it by faith. It ain't about going to a church. It ain't about a denominational structure. It ain't about a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher. It isn't about any of that stuff. Everything in our life is about this simple fact. The righteousness of God is revealed how? From faith to faith. It is the process that you and I must use to live on this earth. Faith. And how was that faith revealed? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And if you don't get that fact, you'll fight with sin consciousness and never be able to enter into the righteousness, which you should receive by faith because Jesus did it for you. And then your whole life is built in and on faith.
Amen.
Now, thank you, Dan. Matthew 15:21-28. We'll go there in a minute. Appreciate your help, brother. Now go with me to Romans chapter 8. It is not Romans 8. Where are you going? Excuse me while the student of me corrects the fiery preacher, okay? Just letting everybody get settled down, everybody. Ready?
All right.
Pastor, do you really talk to yourself like that? You go, yeah, shut up, you stupid brain. Let the spirit man talk. Romans chapter 10, 4-17. Now, we're not going to read it all, but that's the reference of the righteousness of faith. Okay? Now, you might want to put that right in with the words when you type them in. The righteousness of faith. Romans 8:4-17, the righteousness of faith. For Christ is the end of the law. The end. Want to say it? The end.
The end.
Of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The law was trying to make him righteous, but it couldn't. Faith made him righteous. Even Noah, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, Elihu. See, the righteousness of faith. And I believe God, because I believe God, he counts it to me for righteousness. Watch. Verse 6, Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, The man who does those things shall live by those things. So if you're, all of your righteousness is built up in what you do, that's the law. Because the moment you don't do it, you're guilty. Now what? Like they're doing in Michigan. Animal sacrifices are now allowed in the backyard in people's houses in certain cities in Michigan. Absolutely ridiculous. The spirit,
wow.
Ready? The spirit of religion. Animal sacrifice dates clear back to the garden. Because God had to cover Adam and Eve's sins or he couldn't be with them. It was done away with when Jesus died on the cross. Mm-hmm. Never again was there ever the necessity of another Passover. Keep going. But the righteousness of faith. Excuse me.
God bless you.
Speaks in this way. You're not saying your heart. Who will go up into heaven and bring Jesus down? Or who will go down to the pit to bring him up? It already happened. 8. What does the righteousness of faith say? The word is near you. Where is the word? In your mouth and in your heart. That's pretty close. What is it? It's the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many of you have done that? All in favor? Raise your right hand. Say, I. Well, I know I did. All who have done that with Jesus, raise your right hand and say, I.
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 Who's trying to be quiet?
Wait, listen. Now, sometimes you guys will hear me say that, and Sister Leanne won't say anything, so I'll say it again. But now, listen, I want everybody to hear this. We have a good understanding, and we have a great relationship. I just know there's sometimes she's over there, and she's got YouTube or Facebook right by a chokehold saying, you will do exactly what I've said. And if she were to open her mouth and say what I just said, it might sound like it was with clenched teeth.
Maybe.
They would be the teeth of faith, though. I command you to work. Anyways, if you don't know anything what I just said, don't worry about it. It's just the fun of what happens here on this side. Now, most churches today, when the pastor's up in the pulpit preaching, the sound booth is far enough away, he can't see the look on the face of the people running the sound booth going, are you kidding me? Just work, right? But my sound booth is, you know, within 3 feet of me. And if you didn't get it, it's all right. One day you will. Watch this. All of the righteousness of faith is built in verse 8 and 9. All of it. You can find it all right there. What does it say? The word is near you. Where is the word? In your mouth and in your heart. Except in some people's life, it's not in their heart. Why? Because they don't ever speak it with your mouth. It won't go down in your heart till you actually speak it out loud with your mouth. The greatest faith principle I can ever teach you. Open up your mouth and begin to speak the word of God. But Pastor, I don't know what to speak. That's why I give you a verse list in almost every program. Why? Take that verse list, find those key verses that God speaks to you, and put them on a piece of paper, just the verse that's the impact verse, and begin to speak them out loud. Because when you speak it out loud off your lips, your eyes see, your ears hear, your mouth speaks, and it goes down in your heart. David said in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. It is the way to get sin out, the word in, faith happening. I know every time you come here, I'm going to say the exact same word. I must say the exact same word. Why? Because it is the answer for everyone sitting here. For those of you that were able to watch it last night, remember how it showed Corey Ten Boom speaking the word of God to the people that were in that prison camp building with her?
Yeah.
And she would look at him and say, you have got to believe in God. What was she doing? She was transforming that prison camp with the word of God. Every person in that prison camp building she was in was glad Corey Ten Boom was in that building with them, because the more she spoke the word, the more they had lice. And the more they had lice, the more the guards left him alone. Why? Guards didn't want lice. They didn't want that at all. So what are they going to do? They're going to leave those women alone. So even though they still had sickness in there, and Corey Ten Boom was a miracle working woman. She raised people from the dead and everything. Matter of fact, this week, I'm going to play some excerpts, and maybe we'll play the whole thing. There's on YouTube, there's a video of Catherine Kuhlman interviewing Corey Ten Boom. And now that we saw that movie somewhat, I'm going to play that for us. Why? Because you and I are going to begin to see. Now, when you see Catherine Kuhlman, one of the greatest women of faith that healed people, and Corey Ten Boom sit down together, two giant women in the faith, the one is interviewing the other, what you're going to get is the Holy Spirit's going to be screaming loud for faith to grow and develop in your heart. Now, verse 10, I'm in Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, the innermost being, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. That's why if you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, you shall be saved. But guys, it's the only way you get it. The woman with the issue of blood, how'd she get healed? She said in her heart all day long, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Every time she said it, every time she said those words given to her by God from heaven, every time she said those words, those words had within themselves the ability to bring themselves to pass. So what happened? She went into the street. She was to be stoned for being in the street. Everybody in the city knew her. Jesus is with the ruler of the synagogue, who will be the one to stone her for being in the street. Tell me, wait. Do you want to talk about a person that's operating in extreme faith? Jesus is coming by her door, and she says, there he is. Well, people had already been being healed by touching the hem of his garment. So that word had gone through all the region. If you can just touch the hem of his garment, you will be made whole. It says it a couple times. So here comes Jesus. And guess what the lady's like now doing? I got to go now. And she opens the door, and there's the ruler of the synagogue with Jesus. Why? Well, Jesus is going to his house to raise his daughter from the dead. Why? Jesus was friends with Jairus. Jesus' house was next to Jairus' house. I know, this bent some of your religious mind. Jesus didn't have a house. Just read the Bible. Anyways, when that woman opened that door, Jesus, Jairus, and everybody in that crowd knew her. She spent all she had. to be well, was none the better. Been to the synagogue how many times? They knew she was a shut-in. And when she opened that door and saw Jesus, she's like, there's my opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the man who's going to try to stone me is standing right next to him. Wait, you want to put a little deeper in it? Jesus is the one who gave the law to that man that said, stone them if they go in the street. Jesus is the one that gave that law. In the Old Testament.
I was going to say, okay, that twisted my brain for a second.
Wait, yeah, because see how it is? Because look at what's happening. Jairus represents the old law. Jesus is the end of the law, the completion of it.
Yes.
All of the law, all of the prophets is wrapped up in Jesus coming and saying, if you just believe in your heart and receive me, to as many as receive me, him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Wait, not those who went to church, not those who went to the synagogue, not those that had animal sacrifices and did all. No, no. To as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the power. Now, well,
amen,
John. We're all the same way. I said that to God one time. You know what he said? Just get along with me. You can touch more in my hem. I'll give you a hug. Whoa. Whoops. One day I was praying and the Father asked me if I would give myself to a specific assignment to bring him to make it happen for him. And I'm like, sure. Well, you know, I spoke it five times and it didn't come to pass. What's wrong? But what he's asked me to do is huge. So huge things aren't going to come with five little words and then look to heaven and go, what's wrong? You know, what, did God fail? Or did he give you an assignment to get accomplished and it's going to take a few more words than five words to bring it to pass? It doesn't matter. If it's your marriage, your money, your mouth, your ministry, we got to put one more M in there. What is it? Marriage, money, mouth, ministry. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Should be five M's. That'll make a good book. Now, let's go read this story. Where'd it go? Matthew 15. Thank you, Dan. Matthew 15. Because this is the perfect example. You know, I can't tell you for sure, but I can tell you pretty much possibly.
Mountain, there you go, Wayner.
Yeah, amen. Just to be in the presence of the Lord would have been a great time. Yeah. And yet, now he lives within us. He lives within us. Everything God said to me for the last 2 days in that semi while I'm driving, hauling sand, he did. Everything he said to me he was going to do when I went and got in that man's truck, not my own. I had to go get somebody else's truck. He did it. I'll tell you the story in the not too distant future because this is turning into an absolutely amazing story.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing story. Wait, a story of faith. Remember this. The greatest place to learn how to use your faith is not standing in front of the church preaching. The greatest place to use your faith is in your natural world where nobody's life is being altered if you miss what he said when he said it to you. So Brother Copeland taught it to us this way. Remember, we're going to Matthew 15. Brother Copeland said, God, I don't know how to hear your voice. He said, will you trust me, Kenneth? He goes, yeah. He goes, wear a white shirt with that tie. What? You're concerned about my shirt and my tie? No, you're colorblind and you can't match. So if you'll listen to me, I'll make you look good. Well, first thing Brother Copeland said is, I refuse to say I'm colorblind or that I don't know how to match. So God speaking to him gave him two assignments immediately. So every day Brother Copeland would stand in his closet and say, what do I wear today? Pastor, God doesn't care what you wear today. He don't care what you wear. What did he challenge Brother Copeland to do? Hear his voice in a manner, in a place where nobody's life was altered or hurt. When you get here where I'm sitting right now, thousands of people's lives can be altered by what I say standing right here. So that's why in the kingdom, God wants you to have built yourself up in the kingdom, grown and developed in the kingdom before he puts you out front in the kingdom where one stupid statement ruins a whole bunch of people's lives. Like is happening today with people putting the confused males and females of this world up in a pulpit in front of everybody. No, 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 no. And besides that, no. And when Brother Copeland said it the first time, I went to my church and preached it. You know how much flack I caught from that? God, don't care what shirt or tie I wear. I know he don't. What he was helping Brother Copeland do is learn how to hear his voice.
Yeah.
So I'm driving my semi. What am I going to do next, Father? And he says the word, do it. Brother John, we're building this. You know, I forget what you're building. What are you building, John? Hotels. Look at that, Father. And he's going to say, yeah, and that needs this, 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 and this done. And you're going to do it. What did you do? It's not about building that. John knows how to build a house. It's about, I used hammer, nail, wood, drywall, roof. I used that to learn how to hear his voice and know it was his voice. So when I leave the hammer, nail, building, woods, you know, drywall, paint, when I leave that and I go back to my life, that man standing on the corner, he can say, speak to that man now this statement. And you transform that guy's life. Where did you learn it? Hammer, nail, wood, Brother Dan. Driving a semi. How many times over the road driving are we caught in a traffic jam? And if we heard him, he would have said to us early, take that road. Do what? Take that road. Really? Yeah. This is what happened. See what you start doing immediately with your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the example. Last night, when I started my shift with this company, once you start a shift, once you schedule a shift, it's 4 or 5 days long. You can't miss it. Can't cancel it. You got to start it. So I'm praying throughout the afternoon. I slept. When I woke up, I'm like, where do I go first? Because I want tonight to be full of money because I'm out here for one purpose, and that's make money. That I can establish his covenant on this earth. The Lord, he it is that gives me the power to create wealth, to establish his covenant. I ain't about getting rich so I make myself look good. I'm about establishing his covenant, which takes money. Listen to this statement. I pull up to the gas, the fuel pump. I'm like, where am I going first? He tells me. I'm like, huh, okay. Well, I think I'll have that load, and it'll take me there. I go in, I pay for the fuel, I come out, get my car, cut my thermos, move the truck forward so the other drivers aren't mad at me. All right, I move my, and all you truck drivers, move the truck forward after you got fuel in it, right? I go back in, get my coffee the whole time. I'm like, where am I going? And he's saying the same well. I'm like, all right. I go out, I get in that truck, and I'm like, well, I don't have a load. And I can sit here all day long and say, I've learned this. I've already learned this in this job. I've learned this from God. It's not about that truck. It's not about my, I'm learning to hear his voice, and I'm using trucking to learn how to fine-tune his voice, right? He says, go to this well. It's 35 miles away. I don't have that load on my app. I'm driving a semi that gets about 4.5 to 6 miles to the gallon. 35 miles away is 7 gallons of fuel. 7 times 4 is $30 for fuel to just drive that way. I'm like, all right, I turn and start going. And the phone, my app ain't going, and the app ain't going, and the app ain't going, and the app ain't going. Listen to this. Now, I'm teaching a very important faith principle. And then the app goes. And it's back in the opposite direction. And I said, Father, do you think he knows what I'm going to say to him next?
Yeah.
Before I could finish the statement, you know what I heard? Did you do what I said? And I was like, and he said, are you hearing my voice? And I said, yes. He said, who are you having this conversation with right now? You ready? I said, you. He said, see, you hear my voice. Wait. How am I hearing that accuracy? Letting him tell me where to go while I'm driving the truck. It's not about the truck. It's not about sand. It's about I'm fine-tuning so I know that voice. I love it. We got Dan driving a semi. We got John hammering a nail. We got Brother Roger and his chaplaincy stuff that he does. And what's Roger do? Roger listens and he goes out to lunch with somebody. What a ministry.
Mm-hmm. But then as a result.
As a result?
Yeah, of listening. To
oh, right, right. Thank you. She's like, tell the rest of the story.
Yeah, because it's really cool. Because earlier, go ahead.
I said to the Father, I want to make this much money on this shift. He's like, all right, I can do that. Because I have the ability with my loads to make, you know, to make a different amounts of money. It's not like you show up and you get paid one amount, but watch. So, can you get me some coffee too? So I drive by all the truck stop where I was at. I drive by it. I'm like, huh, it makes sense to have gone the other way. But watch this. I show up at the place where I'm getting the sand, and guess what? There ain't a person, there's not another semi in there anywhere. What did he do? He got me to go 10 miles this way. Now I got to come 10 miles back. All the guys that were sitting in that truck stop that went to the same place to the sand mine, they were already all through and went to the different places where they were going. I had the sand mine all to myself, move exactly through it. Nobody in the way, no hesitation. I'm in and out of there in like 12 minutes, 9 to 12 minutes. And I'm like, I got the picture.
Yeah.
You took me that way for 9 minutes. And turned me around and brought me this way for 9 more minutes. And that cleared the whole place out. And what did that do the rest of the night? It moved everybody out of my way. I didn't hardly see anybody all night long, another one of our drivers, anywhere. To the point when I got back to the semi, I'm like, man, where is everybody? He goes, dude, they're just all coming through here before you. And he said, it's like you're coming back after everybody else already gets here. I'm like, well, there ain't a thing wrong with that. He goes, no, look at you. You're sailing right there.
Yeah, which is amazing because earlier in the day, he went to a mine and wound up sitting for 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. Behind, for 4 hours.
Yeah, behind all of these other trucks. So it was such a blessing to get him out of that loop
I sat there for 4 hours. But wait. The Holy Spirit was talking to me about that well where we were going. See, We're getting ready to see it in this story in Matthew 15. We saw it with Sister Corrie Ten Boom last night in that movie. They wake up and they're like, we got lice. Well, what human on the face of the earth wants to live with lice every day? If you get lice in America in your house, some people want to burn the house down. We'll build another one. It's difficult to get it out. Nobody wants that. But what did it do? I don't remember, you know, I don't remember what the book says, or I don't know how long it took Corrie Ten Boom to say, wait a minute, this lice is keeping them guys from raping us. Yeah. Makes you wonder why the other women didn't come here and come and say, would you please rub your head on my head? Why? And spread the lice through the whole camp. You ready? Let me get my coffee.
The warmer's not on. It's cold coffee.
I'm the one that made the coffee. And forgot to turn the burner on. Don't do that. If you make coffee, turn the burner on, for goodness sake. Matthew 15. I think sometimes when I start teaching and we get right into the center of it, I think it makes the clock go faster. 15, let's go to 21. Now it's so hot you can't drink it. Jesus went out from there. He was just severely beating the scribes and the Pharisees for telling him, your disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. So Jesus took the word to him, which you should do. Hypocrites, you whitewashed sepulchers. I look forward to being able to use Jesus' terminology. Anyways, to the region of Tyre and Sidon, later on in Jesus' ministries, he said to Chorazin, and he said to Bethlehem, or to Jerusalem, if the miracles that had been done in Jerusalem had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago. Watch. A woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. That's probably what many parents in America need to say about their children. My child is severely demon-possessed. But most people will not accept that accountability. They allow the devil to get that close to their children. And they'll take them to a shrink and put them on a bunch of mind-altering drugs rather than to get them free. There's no shame in what I just said. Grab the faith, not the instruction. I'm not down against anybody. Especially we see people with autism and those type of, they call them mental illnesses, but Jesus called it a demon. Drive it out. Excuse me. Spirit of infirmity is what that is. Verse 23. But Jesus answered her not a word. Now, let's let the Bible be a real book. If you was a mother and your daughter was severely demon-possessed and you're standing in the presence of the man who you have all kinds of testimonies that he can drive demons out, this woman isn't, hi, Jesus, could you please cast the demons out of my daughter for me? That is not what's going on here. This lady has come and found Jesus and found the big crusade where he's at. And she's this determined in faith. I am not going home until my daughter is delivered from these demons and that man knows how to deliver him. What's the first verse we read today? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? That when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's the gospel of Jesus. He came to set the captive free, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the bound, and good news to the poor. So look at what she says. Have mercy on me, O Lord. She called Jesus Lord and said, Son of David. What is she doing? She's calling on two parts of the covenant. Lord, you Son of David. As soon as she starts calling on the covenant, Jesus got to pay attention. Why? Everything about Jesus is covenant. He's there to end the old covenant and bring and introduce the new covenant. Old covenant ends, better covenant, better promise begins. Watch. His disciples came and said, would you please send her away because she's crying out after us and making a mess in this service. Now, you might say, Pastor, that's not what it says. Hold it. I've been around church long enough and had enough meetings. That's exactly what was going on when the disciples came to Jesus and said, she's crying out after us. She was saying, get Peter by the arm. Take me to him. Why? She's a desperate woman saying, my faith is going to work today. Watch this. He answered and said to the disciples, I was not sent to her. That's just mean. No, Jesus knows his assignment. Yeah. And if you don't stay in your assignment, you don't get the blessing of God. I wasn't sent to her. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's a Canaanite woman. Look at what it says. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord. Wait. She didn't come up and grab him and shake him like many carnal believers do. You give me my promise. No. She came up and worshiped him and called him Lord again. Well, she's been in the covenant. She's called him Lord twice. She's now worshiping him, giving a public example that Jesus is the Christ. Now Jesus is going to, the Father is going to have Jesus function in the new covenant. Look at this. Jesus said, it is not good to take the children's bread. What's the children's bread? Healing for children. That lady's there to receive the children's bread for her daughter. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to a little dog. Pastor, why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus said about himself, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Jesus spoke exactly what the Father gave him to say. And she said, you are right. Look at what it says. Yes, Lord. And yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall off the table, and the children's bread is healing, and I only need one little crumb from you, and my daughter will be made whole at home. And Jesus went from calling her a dog by the words from the Father to saying, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter, however many miles away, was healed of all the demons from that very hour.
Hallelujah.
How? because mama didn't care if you called me a dog or not. You are Jesus. You're the son of David. There is a covenant. I know it's there. You are Lord. I worship you. She got her healed. Wasn't even for her. Ready? The girl wasn't even with her. That's the perfect, this is what makes what you and I do right here so amazing. The other day when Oki Larsi said she was having some kind of stomach issue or something. Okay. Bring it here. This is a healing room. I speak to it, die, health come to your body. Now, whatever that is, the bug dies, health comes, and it does, wait, it does it all the way across the world. Where's she from? Denmark or Sweden?
Denmark, yeah.
Denmark. You just know so much about God. No. I've learned how to listen. How? By driving a truck. I'll use Sister Leanne for a minute, since I don't want to tell all your stories. She'll be out driving, doing DoorDash. And nothing's happening. And then she says, where do I sit? And the Holy Spirit will tell her to go sit. Like the one place says, a chiropractor's driveway between restaurants. Well, why would you go to a chiropractor's driveway if you're looking for food? Drive up and sit in front of McDonald's. No. What is she learning? I'm learning to hear his voice and trust him. And then bam, when you do what he says to do, you get what he says is yours.
Amen.
Have we preached it yet? See, let's go back to Romans 1. And then we're going to Hebrews. Romans 1. Romans 1, 16 and 17. She knows he is the only one who can heal. Amen, John. Their master's table. Yeah. See, this book, God is a God of extreme order. And he's not going to go outside of that order. I don't care who you think you are. But in the order is the miracle for anybody on the face of the earth. You've got to use the order that God said is how it comes. You have to use that order. Everything in God is seed, time, and harvest. You sow a seed, which is not necessarily just money. Sometimes he wants you to sow your words. Sometimes he wants you to sow your time. Sometimes he wants me to sow cleaning up the stinking bathroom I walk in. It's a mess. Why? Because he's teaching me wherever I go to clean up the messes wherever I go.
Amen. Set it in order.
Saturday night. Watch. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Every one of us sitting here would say that. But let's get to the next statement. It is the power of God to salvation. The gospel of Christ. Well, what's the gospel of Christ? The good news. You don't have to be bound anymore. Jesus came to set you free. How's it going to happen? Jesus is going to speak with his mouth because he learned to hear the Father's voice from when he was 12 to 30. He learned to hear the Father's voice and only do what he saw him do and only say what he heard him say. So naturally, Jesus walks into a community and he's looking around, but he only does in that community what the Father tells him to do. And then he gets amazing, mighty, wonderful, miraculous results. He's walking along the beach, four fishermen, two boats, two ships, men in their nets. What did the Father say? Go get in that man's boat and tell him to ask him to take you out. Here comes the whole crowd. Peter looks at him like, all right, I've heard about this guy. One thing about him, I certainly will be able to hear what he's saying today. He'll be in my boat with me, in my fishing ship. Jesus, Peter pushes out a little bit from the shore, probably in the water that's like 9 feet deep so people don't follow him out into the water. You know how that is. Why? Jesus got healing virtue flowing out of him. Begins to teach him. Peter's got Jesus in his boat. Jesus might have been there for that crowd, but he was mainly there for Peter. Why? Because Father said, go get in that guy's boat. I'm going to get you 4 disciples right now. When they're done teaching, Jesus turns to Peter and says, thank you for letting me use the boat. The Father wants to bless you. Would you move out there in the water and let's fill your boat with fish? Peter's like, ready? It was me last night. If I drive that way and turn around and come back this way, I've just wasted 20 miles. And he said, did you obey me? Yeah. And the whole night was based on what happened right there. Jesus had said to Peter, throw your nets in the boat. Peter said to Jesus, when he said, throw your nets over the side, he said, I will throw a net over the side. And what happened? Peter, James, John, and Andrew got two fishing ships full of fish. But what really happened? Jesus got 4 disciples who transformed the whole world. And that's how the Father wanted to reach him. Want to do it? Put your hand up and just say it. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Teach me to hear your voice.
Teach me to hear your voice.
For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for Greek, verse 17. In it, the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Because as soon as you know you're righteous, and that's your fortifying factor, none of this stuff around you will have any effect on you. You'll walk right across it because you're living in the blood and righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. 23 through 40. Hebrews 11, 23 through 40. Don't say Moses. Woo, Moses. No. Look at the principle Moses used. Look at the principles of faith. You believe God, it's counted to you for righteousness. And then say to the mountain, be removed, and obey God. Where did Moses learn to hear God's voice? On the backside of the desert, taking care of sheep. Where did Jesus learn to hear God's voice? In the carpenter shop, working next to his stepdad. Wait, we got to get the revelation. You got to let the revelation come all the way inside. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Why didn't all the parents do this? They heard God's voice and they did it. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's who saved me. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. He had everything. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. And yet, you ready? Get this. Because Joseph listened to God, Joseph and the children of Israel were taken to Egypt And although they allowed themselves to be slaves, they finally woke up and said, we're not going to be slaves no more. And when they listened to the Father, they were not only not slaves, God the Father paid them back all their back wages in one night, 400 years of back wages in one night, and they plundered the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Slaves. 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, God, is faithful. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Look at this. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, and when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were all drowned. The god of the sea that the Egyptians worshipped, Baal, and then what was his name, Poseidon or something?
Yeah. Or Poseidon.
Poseidon, yeah. Poseidon, that's what it is. Pharaoh said, look, the god of Poseidon has opened the sea to destroy our enemy. And he realized that he made a mistake because the angels took the wheels off the chariot. Can I get a big amen for Jesus? Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Moses isn't in the picture anymore. Now it's Joshua. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Those who do not believe perish. By faith, Rahab the harlot didn't perish with those who didn't believe. Even in her own family. When she received the spies with peace, and for time with family to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Corrie Ten Boom didn't subdue the Nazis. She survived and had faith inside a Nazi prison camp. Her sister died. Watch. Worked righteousness. They did it. Obtained promises. That's what the lice was. Stopped the mouths of the lions. Look at that one wicked person, that one lady that was so wicked coming saying, your God ain't nothing. Corrie Ten Boom by faith stopped the mouth of that lion that was roaring. Wasn't true. But that woman was there to destroy her faith, and she didn't get it done. And I would imagine Corrie Ten Boom would have seen that lady get born again if she didn't die.
The one that was helping the nurse, or was the assistant that kept bringing stuff to her?
The wicked German lady that was saying, your God can't do anything for you.
Well, the one lady kept saying the same thing. You can't trust in God here. You do what you have to do to survive. But then as they were calling Corrie out to set her free, that lady said, I want that God.
That's why we got to be faithful.
Yeah.
That's why we got to be faithful.
Yeah. She did get saved.
Yeah, she did. And like Corrie Ten Boom tells the story, many years later, here in the United States of America, traveling and speaking, telling her story after one of the services, one of the male guards who came and physically abused them was standing in that service, looking her in the eye saying, will you forgive me? That, my friends, is severe.
Yeah, many lives were touched by them.
He came to America. He came to Jesus. And he had to get to see her and say, will you forgive me? You know what's bigger than him finding her? At that moment, she had to be that person that said, it's all about grace.
Yeah.
It's all about grace.
Wow. Yeah.
This is a good message, like Brother Jesse will say. I'm buying this tape myself. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. See, while you're subduing the kingdom, God's not as concerned about you subduing the kingdom, but that you're working righteousness. Obtain promises, stop the mouths of lion, quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of a sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You think about it. In that prison camp, she turned them armies to flight.
Mm-hmm.
God gave her what she wanted and needed. It's an amazing thing. Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of mockings and scourgings, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, all of these having obtained a good testimony through faith, the righteousness of faith. Did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Chapter 12, verse number 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Well, every one of us, the easiest sin to get in America is religiousness. Look it, talk it, sound it, act it, and have no power of God on the inside of you. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Where is Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, residing today? Inside of you. So when you're looking unto Jesus, you are looking, he is inside of you. Get the revelation. Pastor, I don't have that yet. I know. Just listen to me. And every time you hear one of these messages, go get it. Play it again. Play it again. Play it again. Play it again. Why? Because I'm going to say the same things over and over and over and over. And the next thing you know, it's going to get down inside. Here, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I will never stop saying this. Never, never, never. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even Jesus did what the Father told him, because the Father said, sit here, and Jesus said, yes, sir.
What was that last set of verses?
Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. When you finish Hebrews 11, you can't finish at verse 40, because it's really not finished at 40. When you have your Bible open, you can see that next page it says, therefore. And what do you do when you find a therefore? You find out what it's there for. And you open it up and you see it. That's why reading out of your hard copy is so important, because it helps you be able to see the continuity of it. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he lives in us. He's in here. He's not way out there. He's in here. He dwells in our heart by faith. The author and the finisher of all faith lives within you. Pastor, why doesn't he do for me what he does for you and others? Because you say, just like I did, I can't hear his voice. No matter what, I don't hear what he says. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And for all the years I said that, guess what happened? I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. His voice was confused with all the other voices of life. Until I began to say, I am a sheep. I hear his voice and I obey him. I don't say I don't know. You can ask Sister Leanne.
Holy Spirit is showing.
The Holy Spirit is showing us. There's been days when we didn't see nothing of what was going on in front of us. You couldn't see it. That 100 times in that day, we said, the Holy Spirit is showing me, rather than saying, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. Well, guess what? You can either get the Holy Spirit is showing me, or you can get, I don't know. And the power of life, and I don't know, is where? Right here on your tongue. But if you, all we got to do, make the switch. Say, Holy Spirit, I know you're showing me, and I am your sheep. I do hear your voice. And Jesus, just like you, I delight to do the Father's will. You show me, I'll delight in it. Everything he showed me would happen last night did. There's a leaderboard where they have this fun thing we do on the weekends. Who drives the most miles on the weekend? All right. And they do it, and they offer a prize. Who knows what it is? I don't know. So that people will come and run on the weekend, because everybody wants to run Monday through Friday and go home, you know, and spend time with the family. But a frack site runs 24 hours a day till it's done. So you got to have guys driving. So there's a leaderboard of the people who run the most. And I got to number four, number three once. And at the beginning of last night, he said to me, I'll even make you the lead on the leaderboard. I hadn't even been thinking about it. It's no big deal. Who knows? I don't even know what they give you. Who knows? But it's no big deal. So I got home this morning, because it was icy out there, so I came home. This is before I went to bed. I'm like, well, let's see. And there I was on the top of the leaderboard. Why? Because I heard what he said, and I did it. And not only did I made money, but I never had to wait anywhere. There was a couple times I was tired. I'm like, it'd be all right if somebody was sitting there and I had to wait 20 minutes. No, there was no waiting. We're just driving. But get this simple process. David was somewhere about 16 when he was anointed. Where did David learn to hear God's voice? Taking care of the sheep, where nobody's life was going to be altered. And then 17 years later, he becomes king. Where did Samuel? Samuel was 8 when he first heard God and had to prophesy. And yet, what was his duty? Being in the temple, lighting the fire, opening the door, turning on the candles. Jesus, we see at 12, and then we don't see him until he's 30. 18 years that he worked with his father in the carpenter shop. What was he learning? To hear the Father's voice on the job. Can you imagine those tables and chairs he made?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Paul, Peter, see, don't waste 1 second of any day. Make it all a faith lesson in your life.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And we have to remember that these days there are so many distractions to hearing the Father's voice that they didn't have to contend with then. So that's why it becomes so vitally important for us to have time alone without any of the other distractions, any of the voices, with the Father every day. Or it is hard to hear his voice with all the other things going on. And most of the things are controversial to what he's saying too. So.
Yep. And see, what we're learning is the voice of religiosity and the voice of the relationship. Because the enemy wants to make the voice of religiosity look religious, act religious, sound religious, talk religious. Mm-hmm. He wants that voice to be what leads you, not the voice of faith. The voice of faith, where you spend time alone with the Father and you're hearing that voice with just the Father. Mm-hmm. You want to know what God sounds like? Read this book. My sheep hear my voice. It's right here in this book. Yeah. And then, like Sister Leanne said, spend time alone with God every single day. Why? Because when you silence every other voice and it's just his, then you learn what that voice sounds like. Because he's going to ask you to do some things that's going to go against your mind. Really. Look at what Peter said. With all due respect, sir, we fished that lake all night and caught nothing. You're a carpenter. Peter heard him preach, so faith was in his heart. And he said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down one net, even though Jesus said, let down your nets. And it sank his boat. Why? He moved in faith and said, I'm going to trust your word. In Jesus, I didn't. I always have so much more to say than I have time to say it. Let's pray. Matter of fact, everybody make this prayer faith confession out loud with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I choose to hear your voice.
I choose to hear your voice.
Above every voice in my life.
Above every voice in my life.
And learn to function freely in your will.
And learn to function freely in your will.
Because I know that that's what I want.
Because I know that that's what I want.
And that's what you want me to do.
That's what you want me to
help do. Me change my world.
Help me change my world.
Because I act in faith.
Because I act in faith.
In Jesus' mighty name. In
Jesus'
mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, Sister Leanne, put the verses in. Everybody listen. I want all of us in this community of faith to have somebody at some point in our life say, of whom the world is not worthy of this group. And they point to you. Because you have a story that you heard the voice of God and he performed a mighty miracle.
Yes.
Because that's what he wants to do for every one of us. Don't go to prayer. Say, Lord, how do I do a mighty miracle that everybody will go, wow. You go to prayer to be alone with the Father. I drive that truck. Why? So I can make money. The whole purpose out there is to make money. And so what's the Father doing? Not only am I making money, he's teaching me how to hear his voice at a greater level than I've ever heard it before. And how's he doing it? With the simple daily things of life. When nobody's life will be altered, if I do something and it wasn't exactly what he said to do, it's not going to matter if John picks up the crooked 2x4 rather than the straight one. Does that make sense how I'm saying it?
Mm-hmm.
Then nobody's life was altered. But John will say, I ain't picking up another one of them crooked 2x4s. Why? Because it doesn't effectively make for a nice stud in the wall. Anyways, here we go. Let's do communion together. You ready? Now, thank God for his word that is alive and well and is working right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Give me just a second. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just pause to speak over Rebecca's granddaughter. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, may great revelation flow right now to her and this whole family. May they see you. And may they know you and come to you. And great revelation flow right now to everyone involved of who you are, Jesus. Of who you are. And for all those in the live viewing audience, please make sure you silence your technology. I'm excited to start reading the new Thompson Chain Bible. If I may, I'm thinking about going to the New Testament when I'm through. I will read John, Mark, Luke, and Acts. Amen. Yes, you are right. Mark, Luke, and John is the four Gospels that tell Jesus' story. And then the book of Acts. Read it right out loud, Roger. That's the answer. You ready? Let's receive communion together today. What is the principle of today's message, Ben? Of whom the world is not worthy. But wait a minute. You and I are of like precious faith with these people. They weren't extraordinary people. They were just people who, when life showed up, began to do the exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Why? Because when they were presented with a situation, they had already been operating in faith where God told them to be, when he told them to be there. So it was very simple for them when the situation arrived to just move and flow in faith because they were already doing what God gave them to do, and it worked. Ready? Let's receive the communion elements together. Those of you that are new to us, we always receive communion on our Sunday program at noon here. And we receive communion every day, and we welcome you to be a part of it every evening in our evening time of study. If you come and join us, there will always be communion. One of the things we learned during the pandemic was there's a whole lot of people that had only been receiving communion three times a year, Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. That's the only time they ever received communion. And we were able to teach them then, no, that's something that you should do very often. And so that's one of the greatest benefits that came from the pandemic. God turned the whole thing upside down and taught everybody, would you stop making my communion bound to a building somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And heaven and God were dancing and shouting because people were taking communion in the barn, out in the yard, in the back room. They too were taking communion everywhere. And the enemy thought he did something, and God crushed him by spreading that communion message all over the whole world.
Amen.
I'm going to do a miracle if there ain't nobody else with you, if you just believe in me. Now, how we do that every time we come here is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28. And you'll notice right there in the notes, they've put the reference for this. We'll read the verses, pray the prayer of salvation. That way we know everybody's right with God. Then we'll receive the communion elements together. Here we go. This is what God's word says about communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Some people make it all about grape juice and bread. No, that's the reference point. It's not about how did I chew the bread right. No, it's about his body was broken. His blood was shed. Receive it. You can chew the bread however many times you want to. And you can swallow however many times it takes to get the cup down. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. Let a man or a woman examine herself. Let a man examine himself. Not anybody else. And then, when you've done that, and you spent time talking to God about you, then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? As he is, so are we in this world. He's the head and we're the body of Christ. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love, and there's no fear in the communion elements. Let me make sure I say it one more time like I do. Don't run from communion. Run to it.
Amen.
Don't run from the presence of God. Run to it. And you imagine the Father caused Jesus to suffer all of that. But when you need the benefit of the suffering, he brings a club and he beats you because you came to him and asked for the blood in his broken body. That's why he did this, so that we could receive and be free. We're going to now pray the prayer of salvation. It is important before you receive the communion elements that you are born again. So what do? We lead you in the prayer of salvation, that if you'll mean it from the depths of your heart, you will be right with God. You may not understand it at all, but if you say, wait, God, I really want to know what this is all about and walk with you, that's all God needs, and he's coming in. He's coming in. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul didn't pray a long prayer of salvation the day he got saved. Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus, knocked him in the dirt, and all Paul said was, Lord! And that was enough to get Saul of Tarsus delivered from the sin of punishing the church, of persecuting the church. And Jesus didn't kill him that day, because Jesus showed up on their road saying, why are you persecuting me? Did I go to preaching? Do you know how much fun it is to preach? Here we go. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. You pray it. Those of you that's with us online, you're welcome to pray it with us. I want everybody to say this from the depths of your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, this is your statement. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
all mercy. Of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, for all of those of you that just prayed that and you meant that in the depths of your heart, you're like, man, Pastor, what's going on inside of me? God Almighty just came to fill your being with himself. That is exactly what's going on inside of you. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, just came to live on the inside of you. Sin, it's now righteousness. Where there was darkness, it's now light. Where there was frustration, it's now joy and peace. So I want everybody to get this. I literally just saw everybody that's with us right here. I saw you. I saw Rebecca leading some of her family. I saw Roger leading some of his family and friend. And I saw Brother John leading all kinds of people through that prayer of salvation that I just prayed. And you're going to lead them to it, and they're going to say, I never knew that this is what this was all about. I just saw that in my spirit, man, while we were praying that prayer. That's why we pray the same prayer. Why? So you can learn it. You can go to the website. It's right on there, the prayer of salvation. So all I got to do is click on it, pray it, remember it. But most of all, let it get down in here. So it changes you, because that's what just happened. Get you a Bible. I do this all the time. I like my Thompson Chain Reference Bible because it's got so many study tools of the Word. Not the doctrines of men, just the Word matching up with the Word. And this Dr. Thompson literally spent 50 years of his life putting this together. And you and I can pick it up for simple $70, invaluable. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts, stories of Jesus and the beginning of the church. And you'll learn how to walk with God. Hit like, subscribe, and ring the bell, and then be here whenever we're here. We're preaching the gospel just about 5 hours a day right here on Community of Faith. And we'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive the communion elements together. Hold them up and we'll bless them. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying.
Every joint is supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you did it all for us. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot or any other blemish.
Till you come for me.
Till you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his blood shed.
Amen.
Amen, Rebecca. Amen. It's good to have you with us. Let's sing. It might end up being Sister Leanne, but let's sing a song about the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands and worship him. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sister Rebecca, give us some form of a report on your family, please.
She's telling us that she's doing well and she's sore, but she's lucky that she's only got a broken arm. Praise God that
praise
it wasn't worse.
God. Praise God.
And who is this? Which one of your kids?
Stacy Barkley Hall's daughter, Keely.
Oh, it's
and,
your daughter.
My granddaughter and her boyfriend.
In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we speak again right now, just like we did a minute ago. Speak very clearly to absolutely everyone connected in this situation. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we declare it, and we stand in confidence of it, and in a dream, in a vision of the night, may they come to know who you are.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
name.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, like we do every time we come here, we always say, we love you.
We love you.
And God
loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
You know, get this message. Play it again. Play it again. But don't just play it. When you turn it on, say, Jesus, help me get it. And then make that declaration we learned today. I am your sheep. I do hear your voice. And the voice of a stranger, I will not follow. Keep making it right out loud. And then watch God use your natural situation to teach you how to hear his voice and walk with him every day of your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All right. Till we see you again. Remember, sometime this week we're going to start the book of Revelation. So make sure you get connected to Zoom so you can be a part of it. Because I can't, as it stands right now, I cannot broadcast that on YouTube, even though I know for a fact that Dr. Hilton Sutton would want me to. We're all just figuring it out together in Jesus' mighty name. Remember this, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is
Lord.
See you again.
Have a great day, everyone.
Real soon. Huh. Well, I was going to talk to Rebecca about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to talk to her a little bit more about it, but
oh, did you shut Zoom down?
Yeah.